Good morning, Olive family. Hey, we're so glad you joined us today. And even though we can't see you in person and we miss seeing you, we just want you to know that we love you and that God is still on the throne and we are still the church.
Good morning, Olive family. We're so glad you're here today.
Good morning, Olive. We're so glad you're here.
Good morning, Olive. We're so glad you're here.
Good morning, Olive. We're so glad you're here.
Good morning, church family. Looking forward to seeing you again real soon at a place called Olive.
Good morning, Olive. We're so glad to have you.
Hey, church family. So glad you guys are here.
Hey, good morning, Olive family. Excited to worship with you.
Good morning, Olive. We're so glad you're here with us this morning. Let's worship the Lord together.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of
Good morning, Olive family. Join with us as we worship together.
I saw my guilt upon your cross. I found new life from what was lost. I am free. How can it be?
Broke the power.
He broke the power of canceled sin. Brought this child back home again. I am free. How can it be? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of darkness with your love. You washed me white in crimson flood. I am free. How can it be? Oh, I am free. How can it be? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God. Triumph over my every mistake, over the depths of my shame, over the prison of fear.
You have the victory.
You have the victory here. Over the sting of the grave, you are faithful and mighty to save. Let all
Hi, folks. My name is Mike Dimmick, and I'm the military pastor here at Olive Baptist Church. I just want to tell you a quick thank you for the love that you've been showing and that you've been pouring in with phone calls, texts, emails for our military people as they're all over the world. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, the military ministry is just a vibrant part of Olive Baptist ministry. Our military people are involved in every aspect of the ministry here, from working in preschool all the way up to being deacons of our church. The hard thing about the military ministry is that they have to go. And a lot of times when they leave, they like to leave little tokens behind, patches and challenge coins, so that we won't forget them. But you know, we're never going to forget them because they always leave a piece of their heart with us as well. So I want to challenge you to continue to pray for our military people. Pray that as they're defending our country and defending our faith, that they stay close to the Lord, they stay strong in the Lord, and they just stay focused on His Word all the time. Thank you so much. And accept that challenge to pray for our military. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us here at Olive Baptist. Delighted that you would come our way through this broadcast. Even though we can't gather together in this room, we can be together through technology. Delighted that we can do that. This week I've received a lot of mail. I've had several children write to me this week, and others in our church just writing notes. Grateful for that. One senior lady who's in a retirement center here in our area wrote me, sent her tithe check, said, "Pastor, we can't get out. Matter of fact, we're locked in our rooms. We can't get out and come to the church, but the church can come to us, and we're grateful for that." Well, we're thankful for the giving that people like that sweet lady has done this week, and for scores of others. You've been ever so generous and faithful with your giving during this time of lockdown. And so I encourage you to continue to do that as you go online, mail it in, send it however you want to do it. But thank you for coming and joining us right here for this broadcast this morning. John, thank you for you and your team being here with us to lead us as we give praise unto the Father. I want to pray. After I pray, they'll come and they'll be again leading us. You join them there in your home or wherever you may be connecting with us today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I give you glory and honor that you sit on the throne today and that you intercede for us. I pray, Father, that you do a good work through this broadcast today. I pray for those that have tuned our way, that you'll meet the needs that they have. We lay this time of worship before you and pray that you would move strong in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a reason I can see. There's a reason for this life inside me. One name above all names, Jesus. Yes, it's Jesus. There's a reason for this hope. There's a reason for this peace that I know. One worthy of all praise, Jesus. Yes, it's Jesus. I will lift my hands up, I will raise my voice high, I will shout of your love till the day that I die. Everything that I have, all my worship by.
The victory.
For the victory over sin.
For the goodness.
For the goodness of your grace each day.
I will bow and bless.
I will bow and bless your name.
We'll sing his name.
Shout out.
when my time on earth is through, when my final breath has left these lungs, I'll forever be with you. Where the song goes on and on.
Promises, Lord.
All your promises are yes and amen.
Sing it faithful. Has always been faithful. He forever will be faithful. And our confidence and our hope today is in Him and Him alone. Let's rest and rejoice in His promises. Sing this.
I will rest in Your promises. My confidence is Your faithfulness. I will.
Sing it strong, come on.
I will rest in Your promises. My confidence is Your faithfulness. I will rest in Your promises. My confidence is Your faithfulness.
Sing faith.
Thank you, John. Hallelujah. Yes and amen are the promises of our great God. I want to invite you on this Sunday morning, take your Bible and go with the pastor to Romans chapter 8. and I'm going to read the first 17 verses. Romans 8, a mind set on the Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives during these days. John, I've really been praying and thinking about spiritual revival in the life of the church and spiritual awakening in the life of the nation. And so for these next couple of weeks, I just want to talk about the spirit life and pray that God would do a fresh, good work in you, in all of us, but I'm praying He'd do something in me more than anybody I can think of. I just need the fresh touch and the anointing of God in my life. Well, Paul writes about the spirit life in the 8th chapter of Romans, and I want to read the first 17 verses. You follow along as I read. This now is the word of our great God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. For if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Now hear me today. Your mind is set on something. It is either set on the flesh or on the Spirit. Where is your mind fixed today? Paul lays this out. The mind set on the flesh, death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Three different times he speaks of the mind set on the flesh, set on the Spirit. The mind set on the flesh, set on the Spirit. I want you to set your mind with me this day. I want you to think this morning on the life of the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible gives several symbols, but three I want to enumerate this morning. Three symbols we find in the Word of God. about the Holy Spirit. The first one is fire, the second one is water, and the third one is the dove. When we see fire, it speaks of the power of Almighty God. When we see the Holy Spirit likened unto water, it's speaking of the purity of Almighty God. And when we see the dove coming down there on Jesus, it speaks of the peace of Almighty God and leads, when it's in our life, to a pliability. Now, don't miss that word. I want you to write it down, think about it, that there is a pliability. You become pliable, that God begins to move you where He wants you to be. Fire, water, the dove. But when human energy and flesh, listen to me now, when human energy and flesh take the place of the Holy Spirit, we have no power, we have no purity, we have no peace. I'm fearful for many people that come in this room, many people who watch today who would name the name of Christian, that they're like a little boy or girl that goes to a store and there is a plate glass. And behind that glass, there is something that glitters or shines or is chocolate or something they would like. And they put their little hands up on the glass and they look and mash their nose, but they can't get to the delightful because the glass is in the way. In order for them to participate in that, the glass has to be removed. There are many Christians, I think, that see God at work in others. They see the work of God in the Word of God. And they press their hands up, but they can't get to it. They've never experienced it for themselves. Their mind is still set on the flesh. Though they see the things of God, they've not participated in the things of God. They see the deep spiritual life, the life of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but that plate glass has got to be broken. It's got to be removed. You've got to get through that in order to come to the fullness of God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled. That word is plaruo. It means from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you are to be filled. This morning, I want you to think with me. I want you to set your mind on the Spirit of Almighty God. We come to the end of this service, this end of this message. I'm going to ask you right where you are. I'm going to ask you in your home. If you've got all of your family with you, I'm going to ask you to take that family, get them around you, and I want you to get on your knees, and I want you to ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost of God. If it's just you and a friend or spouse, I'm going to ask you to get on your knees and ask the Spirit of God to bring a breakthrough in your life, to come and fill you and flood you, and that He would find you with your mind set on the Spirit. You say, Pastor, I'm all by myself. Even the better that you would by yourself in the quietness of your space get on your face before God and say, oh, God, I die to myself. I pray, oh, God, consecrate me and fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want you to set your mind on the Spirit. There's at least seven titles that Paul gives the Spirit in Romans 8, but you wouldn't have the endurance to sit through the teaching of all of those this morning. And I want you to see the first three, and I want to give them to you as we see the titles, the way that Paul enumerates about the Spirit in our life. And I want us to understand, set our mind there, and then ask God to do a good work in us. So here we are. Three things I want you to see with me, these names that I lift out of Romans chapter 8. First of all, Paul says about the Holy Spirit that He is the indwelling Spirit. Look at it in verse number 9. However, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Dear friend, if the Spirit of God's not in you, you're lost. You're without Christ. You need a Savior. But when you come to Christ, the Spirit of God comes into you. That third person of the Trinity invades your life. He moves in to your life. He is there. There are three kinds of people I'm talking to on this broadcast this morning. There are three different kinds of people that are here. There's the non-Christian. Then there is the Christian, but his mind is set on the flesh. And then thirdly, there is the Christian whose mind is set on the Spirit. Which one are you? You say, well, Pastor, I don't even think I'm a believer. Well, I'd encourage you today that you cry out to the Lord and ask Him to save you. I talked with a good friend of mine down in Central Florida this week, and he said to me, Ted, I was in a store, and I was talking to the merchant, and we had a few minutes together, and I began to talk to her, and I asked her, I said, are you a Christian? And she said, no, I'm not. He said, well, would you like to be a Christian? She said, well, I don't think I even understand what that is. And he said, well, let me tell you what being a Christian is. He said, let me tell you what happens to you when you become a Christian. Number one, your sin is forgiven. Number two, your sin is forgotten. There's no guilt. It's God cast it away. He said, thirdly, you become a part of the greatest family in the world called the church, all of God's people. And fourthly, you go to heaven when you die. Your eternity is secured. He said, Jesus Christ came and lived and died for you. Your sins will be forgiven. Your sins will be forgotten. Part of the greatest family in the world. And then you go to heaven when you die. Would you like to receive that? She said, I would. He said, standing right there in that store, I led that merchant to faith in Christ. Well, this morning, where you sit, if you're listening today and you've never come to faith in the Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd ask Him to step out of heaven and into your heart. Pray. You say, I want to pray that prayer. Well, then pray it. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Just tell Him you're a sinner and come into your heart. You say, well, I need some help. Well, I want to encourage you, if you need help this morning, just pick up your phone and text to 94,000 the word Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. Just go put in that number. It's not a bait and switch. We're not going to trick you. We're not messing with you. Just send that text in. Somebody will be back in touch with you. We'll give you some information. We'll lead you. We'll help you to know how to come to faith in Christ. I pray you'd call on Him this day if you're a non-believer. 94,000, the word Savior, 94,000 and the word Savior, and we'll reach back to you and encourage you and help you to know the Lord. But not only are there non-Christians, but secondly, there is the Christian who's set on his mind is still set on the flesh. I'm fearful that this is where many, many, many people in our churches are today, that they've prayed a prayer. They've asked the Lord to save them. But there's never been revolution in their life. We need a fresh movement of God in the church today. We need a spiritual breakthrough. We need to begin to pray, Lord, break me. Break me. Break. We need to come to full surrender of our lives. Now, the Bible says when God finds sin in the life of His children, He chastises us. He comes against us, and the King James says He scourges His children. I'm telling you, there ought to be a lot of bruised believers in the church. That is because the Lord is dealing with us like you deal with your children. God deals with His, and He scourges us till we come to the place that we cry out, oh, God, break me. Dr. Oldford used to share with me, he'd say, Ted, you need to pray this prayer. He said, we've got too many Christians are like a capital I, straight up and down, and they need to be bent into the sea of Christ. And we need to pray, Lord, bend me, bend me, bend me, bend me until the eye of the flesh becomes the sea of Christ's Spirit within us. Oh, dear friend, I'm praying today you'd have your mind set on the Spirit, that God would bend you, break you, mold you, and make you into what He wants you to be. And then the third kind of person where the indwelling spirit is that Christian with his mind set on the Spirit. Galatians 2 and verse number 20 tells us that I've been crucified with Christ. But it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified. I'm alive, but it's not me. It's Christ in me that works through me. And I live not by the flesh. I live by faith. It's the Spirit-filled life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, he said, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" That when you get saved, God moves in, and then He is to be the King in your life with your mind set on the Spirit. Now listen to me. When babies are born, we see those children and people look and say, "You know, that baby looks like," and it'll say, "the mother or the father." Just this week, John Tyner's leading our worship, helping this morning. His firstborn child, Jack, just turned 16 this week. And you'll look and you'll see his mama, his daddy, grandparents, you see that in them. I put pictures on Facebook and people will say about my granddaughters, I can see your wife, some even of your mother, Pastor, I see in that. Well, it should be because we've given life. Well, let me tell you, friend, when you come to the fullness of the Spirit, they ought to see Jesus in you. Amen. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you and He is to live through you. Yeah, you ever ride up and down the street and you see new buildings going up? You don't know what it is. You're not certain exactly what that building is going to be, but just by looking at it, you can guess. You say, now that looks like, I think that's going to be a Waffle House. Yep. You can look at it and see how they've built that long rectangular box, and you think, yeah, that could be. Then you see another building, you say, well, that looks like it may be going to be a motel or a hotel. And then you'll see a building, you say, you know, I think that's going to be a church. I'm not sure what they're building right there. But that building structure tells you something. Well, let me tell you, friend, you're a temple. And the way your temple is built and what comes through you tells people who dwells in your temple. And if you run your temple, they'll say that's a selfish place. If there is no God in your life, they'll say that's a dead house. But if Jesus is lifted up, they'll say that's a Jesus house, and you should be the temple of the living God filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We are to be indwelt. And the Bible says if He indwells us, that then out of our innermost being where He dwells will flow rivers of living water. Out of that innermost being, Jesus said, it is going to come a gusher. It's going to flow through you. Last week, they told us we were going to have storms here along the Gulf Coast, but it didn't come very much. We got a little rain, but boy, those storms went up through Mississippi, starting over in Louisiana, into Alabama, over into Georgia. The next morning, I got the news, and I saw Fort Payne, Alabama. I've gotten off at that exit, I don't know, I guess hundreds of times. There was water. It was in the Cracker Barrel. It was in the Santa Fe Steakhouse. I sent a friend a text. I said, "Get that Santa Fe Steakhouse dried out before I get back up there," because I love to go there to eat. The Chick-fil-A, Walmart, it didn't matter. That river, it was a flood that came. Let me tell you, friend, when Jesus gets in you, He begins to flood through you. And everywhere you go, that water is flowing through you, not just at the church house, not just at your house, but at every house that you go to, there is a river of living water gushing through you. And let me tell you, if your fountain is dried up, you need to repent this morning. That's what the church needs. We need a repentance that leads to a flood coming through us. He is the indwelling Spirit. Number two, this text tells us that He is the life-giving Spirit. The life-giving Spirit. Look in verse number 11. The Bible says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." There He is. He is the life-giving Spirit. And He will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The King James uses the word quicken right here. It's the same word, just an old English word we don't use a great deal now, but to quicken, be made alive, that He will quicken us. He will give life to us. When you feel weak physically and the burden is heavy, you need to pray for strength. You need to let the Spirit of God fill you and be the life-giving Holy Ghost in your life. But friend, we're facing difficult hours, pandemic, a time that we just don't know. The burden is there. Well, we laugh a lot about it and make jokes. Everybody's staying at home. But let me tell you, if your house was tension-filled before this, their marriage is crumbling. If there were children that were being abused in homes, let me tell you, I don't even want to think about what's going on in those homes now. When everybody is there 24/7, there needs to be a life-giving change in your life and in my life. And when you're tired and you don't think you can, you're teaching kids, you just don't say, so how am I going to put up with all of this? Cry out to God. He's the life-giving Spirit. Pray for strength. Just say, God, I'm weak. Give me strength for the journey. I got a little verse. I got it stuck up on my computer on the side of it, and I've known it for a long time, but it's become my watchword through this pandemic. It's Romans 14 and verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace," and here's the last phrase, "and joy in the Holy Ghost." Joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit that we see. The kingdom of God's not eating and drinking. Lord knows we're doing enough eating and drinking during these days. Amen. Eat and drink. But that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is being righteous, being peaceful, and it is joy, hallelujah, in the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Who wrote those words? Well, the Spirit of God wrote them, and He wrote them through Paul. Paul is the man who over in Acts chapter 16, he and Silas were in jail. And the Bible says in Acts 16 and verse 25 that they were in jail and they were singing hymns at midnight. And friend, they had the joy in the Holy Ghost because they were there. They were in prison. It was difficulty. They were not only locked up, they were locked in and they were locked down. They couldn't get out. And the Bible says at midnight, they were singing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." They were singing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me." They were singing hymns, the Bible says. They were really probably singing the Psalms. And as they sang the Psalms, the Bible says that the jail doors popped open and the jailer came in. Said, "What in the world's going on? I'm going to kill myself. Is everybody gone?" And Paul said, No. Don't take you off. We're all here. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved." What's the kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy, joy, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's my verse through this pandemic. Romans 14, verse 17. I hope you'll write it on the window of your own soul and that you'll pray, "Oh God, give the life-giving Spirit that as I come under this burden, I will find the joy of the Holy Spirit." He's the indwelling Spirit. He's the life-giving Spirit. But number three, as we come to conclusion today, He is also the leading Spirit. Look in verse 14 of our text. The Bible says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Brock Singh was an evangelist in India years ago. I was introduced to his ministry. Dr. Singh's in heaven now. I was introduced to his ministry several years ago by a man working at Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York. I'd never heard of this man. I got his biography and I read Brock Singh's biography. Then I got another one or two of his books where he would write about doctrine, the fullness of the Holy Spirit from time to time. Dr. Singh made this comment in one of the books. He said, "My highest privilege as a Christian is finding and doing the will of God." Listen to that one more time. He said, "My highest privilege as a Christian is finding and doing the will of God." Let me tell you, friend, the Spirit is not only an indwelling Spirit, a life-giving Spirit. He's the leading Spirit. He leads His dear children along. Yes, He does. He shows us every step to take. We need to find the will of God. Then we need to do the will of God. I find a lot of Christians say, "Well, I think I know the will of God, but I'm not going to do it." Well, let me tell you, friend, the judgment of God's coming in your life when you know the will of God and you won't do the will of God. He is the leading Spirit, and we are to follow Him to the ends of the earth. Listen to what Jesus said through the Gospel of John. There's several verses here I want you to see. First, in John 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me to accomplish His work." Your food today is to do the will of God. John 5, in verse number 30, Jesus said, "I can do all things on my own. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will," Jesus said, "but the will of Him who sent me." You don't need to seek your own will. You need to seek the will of the Lord Jesus in your own life. John 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Dear friend, you're not on this planet to do your will. You're here to do the will of Almighty God. We need a revival of obedience to the Holy Ghost in our life when He shows us what to do for us to be about it. Jesus said in John 7 and verse 17, "If anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." You just got to get willing to do the will of God. Say, "Lord, whatever You want, here I am. I'm ready to do it." Then in John 8 and verse 29, Jesus said, "And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Not pleasing to me, not pleasing the pastor, not pleasing the church, not pleasing the spouse, but pleasing unto the Father. Friend, that's the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. Ephesians 5:17 tells us, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You're a fool if you do anything other than what you know to be the will of God. Don't be foolish. Do the will of God. Do what Jesus did in Matthew 26 and verse 39 when He came to the end of His life. He went a little beyond them and He fell on His face and He prayed. Here's Jesus praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." Father, not what I want, but what You say. Friend, Jesus wants to lead you today. He wants to lead this church. I've had so many of our people praying for me. I've never struggled with a burden like I have right now. That is in front of me is, how do we lead this church to do ministry? We've never done it this way before. When I've said, "Lord, I'm just struggling. I'm struggling." I read an old book this week from Manly Beasley. He said, "No preacher should ever struggle." I thought, well, I've got to repent now. Manly went on to say, he said, "Difficult times are not a struggle. They're just an opportunity to trust God to show up and show out." I said, well, glory to God. I decided I'm not going to struggle. I'm just going to trust God, and He's going to show up and show out. The next thing on my agenda is, when do we come back in this building? When do we do that? We've heard from the governors, we hear from the president, we hear from health officials, we hear from all of those folks. And so, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, show me, lead me. I'm preaching that you would lead us today. So, God, show me and lead me. And I'm praying with some of our leaders about, when do we come back in this building? How do you find the will of God? There are three things you got to line up. You got to line these three things up to find the will of God. What are they? Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, always get a promise from the Word of God. The Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 tells us that the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When you're looking to find the will of God, you need to find a promise out of the Word of God to begin with. Then secondly, you find the counsel of others. The counsel of others. One of the greatest illustrations of that is in the Old Testament book of Daniel. You remember young Daniel? And in Daniel chapter 2, when you read verses 17, 18, and 19, listen what it says. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at this. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision when Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You see what happened? He got the word came to him, but then his friends prayed with him. And so we need the counsel of others. And when he asked those three that we know better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by their own Babylonian names, we know them better than their Jewish names. But when he prayed with his three Hebrew brothers, then God revealed it in a night vision. You believe God still gives? I'm telling you, God still gives visions to his people. He still shows us what we need to do. You line up the Word of God within the counsel of the people of God. And then thirdly, you put that right together with the Spirit's witness in our life. And that's found right here in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, where the Bible says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's how you find it. You find the promise of the Word, you get the counsel of the saints, and then thirdly, there is the testimony and the confirmation of the Spirit of God, who is our helper, who knows how to pray for us, and He speaks to us this calm assurance, this is the will of God. He is indeed the leading Spirit. Now, dear friend, are you filled with the Spirit today? Are you walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Does He indwell you? Does He give life to you? And as He leads, are you following what He says? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, now listen to me, that is a present, passive imperative. Now, didn't that bless you today? All you that are teaching your kids at home, I bet you really got excited. It's a present. That means be filled right now. It's an imperative. That means it's a command, not a choice. But it's a passive. You cannot fill yourself. What you do is empty yourself, and then God floods you. You die to you, and God turns gloom into glory. Hallelujah. Yes, He does. We die to ourselves, and the flood of the Holy Spirit comes in us and through us. Dear friend, adversity, and we're in the middle of it. Adversity comes to correct us and to enlarge us. I'm telling you what God's going to do through this pandemic. He's going to correct His church, and He's going to enlarge His church. You mark it down. When adversity comes, God always is correcting us. He's correcting me. He's correcting you. He's correcting our family. And He's not only going to correct us, He's going to enlarge His church. Yes, He is. There's going to be a greater witness than we have. God's given us platforms we had never had before in all of our life. God, every time we've had a hurricane here, God's done that for us. He's corrected us and enlarged us, and He's going to do that in this pandemic. The Holy Spirit of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I'm going to end today. You've got a chair there in your house, like this chair. Maybe you're sitting in your chair there in your house. What I want you to do, maybe you're on the sofa or in your favorite chair watching. I want you to gather up your family, right? I want you to tell them, come on, get around you. And I want you to kneel next to that chair. And I want you to pray for God to do a work within your life. I want you to pray for God to do a work within your children, your children's children. And I'm going to pray as I end this message today for myself, my own family. And I want you to pray for your family and ask God's favor and say, oh, God, fill us with your Spirit. You say, preacher, I tell you, I need to get lower than that. That's fine. You get on your face before God and cry out, oh, God, fill me, fill me. Feel me. We need that kind of move within our lives and within our churches. We need a sweeping revival within the church and awakening in the nation. Let's pray together. You pray where you are. I'll pray here. And let's ask God for a fresh touch on His church. Father, thank you that when Paul and Silas went out to do the work, that, Lord, they were given to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I give our church to the Holy Spirit. I give my wife to the Holy Spirit. I give my children and my children's children unto the Spirit life. But, Lord, before I do any of that, I bring myself. And Lord, I pray again as I did years ago. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I give up anybody, give up anything in order to be dead center in your will. Lord, not my will, not Olive's will, not the deacon's will, but your will be done. I pray, oh God, you'd do that in my life. Break me, mold me. Until this temple is so full of Jesus that people will see you like a rushing river coming through me. Lord, I love you, and I pray for my friends watching today, kneeling in their own homes, that God, they would cry out in brokenness and that you would send revival. In Jesus' name, amen. You continue to pray today. If you'd like to reach out to us, do it through that number at 94,000. Send the word Savior. I'd love to hear from you. Send me a text, email, write a letter this week. I'll look forward to seeing you right back here next time when we gather at a place called Olive.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's no fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing, and the Spirit is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is grace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we surrender. Oh, come have your way. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is no. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing.
Hey guys, I'm glad to join you on our post-sermon conversations. My name is Sean Pillay and I serve as a minister of evangelism and discipleship here at Olive Baptist Church. And I'm joined with Sam Schoenke and Josh Dickens. At such a time as this, to hear a message on the power of the Holy Spirit is so needed. And Pastor reminded us to have our mind set on the Spirit. And when your mind is set on the Spirit, God does some amazing things. Sam, won't you share with us what God is doing in our community through the power of the Holy Spirit?
This week, Sean, I was talking to Deshni, and she was saying, hey, you know, one way that I share the gospel, one way I reach and love the neighbors in our community is every time I go to the store, I'm going to reach out, call them. And so your wife is being an awesome picture and an awesome example of how to be pliable and let the Holy Spirit dwell within you to continue to share the gospel.
Always be communicating with people all around you of how you can serve them. We not only serve our neighbors, but we also reach the nations. What's happening, Josh, around the world with our missionary partners?
So we are in constant contact with all of our international and domestic church planting partners throughout this time. I have just become so thankful for Olive's heart for the nations that has been built over these years through Pastor's faithful preaching, that people are we have built such strong partnerships that these partners know our name. They are they love us. And as the needs arise, they've just been able to contact with them. And I've just been praying with our partners internationally through this time. It's been incredible.
Well, thank you two young men for so faithfully serving. Guys, God is not done with us yet. Until Jesus Christ comes, we will proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and also to the nations. So you are a part of it. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Ask the Spirit of God to lead you, to guide you. And even when you don't have the words to say, ask the Spirit of God to give you the right words so you can carry the message of Jesus Christ to a lost community. We love you and continue to lean on the Holy Spirit.